Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Continuing with the topic of an aqaid, we are discussing with regards to bid'ah, innovation. Bid'ah is of two types, one in beliefs and second in action. The first type, bid'ah fil aqidah, can in certain cases take a person out of the fold of Islam and in certain cases not. This is when people invent new beliefs or invent their own understanding of concepts of Islam which was not understood by the pious predecessors. The second type, bid'ah fil amal. This will not cause a person to lose his iman, but will render him a sinner and deviated. Some examples of bid'ah acts and customs in vogue are decorating graves with a covering that is a chadar, lighting of lamps at the graves, cementing or casting concrete on the surface of the graves, erecting domes on the graves, to wear garlands at marriage ceremonies, stipulating the 3rd, 7th or 40th day, etc., for reciting the Quran Sharif for Isali Thawab, participating in the custom of Milad, Urs, Yarwi Sharif, placing food at the graves, kissing the graves, adding words before or after the azan like salat and salam, to make dua after janazah salah, to do a certain action or dhikr in a specific way and at a specific time with the intention that there will be much more reward, to give azan at the grave after burying the deceased, to perform nafal salah in a specific way on specific nights, and a person involved in bid'ah does not get the ability to repent. He will be deprived of the water of Kawthar of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not permissible to honor a bid'ati. This is because by doing so, it entails destroying the structure of deen. Major sins. Sins do not destroy a person's iman, but they continuously weaken the luster of iman, making it fragile. It then becomes easy for shaitan to attack a person, and even at times to let him fall into disbelief. Therefore, one should stay away from every sin. If one errs, then he should immediately resort to repentance. There are two types of sins, major and minor. Tawbah is necessary for the forgiveness of major sins. Tawbah means that a person should feel ashamed of his action, repent and make a firm intention not to repeat the action. If another person's rights were infringed, then these rights should be fulfilled. If salah, fasting, etc. were left out, they should be made up by qadha. Minor sins are forgiven through the blessings of righteous deeds. Some of the major sins are to reject taqdeer, predestination, not to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to lose hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to recite incantations contrary to the Sharia, to verify what an astrologer or fortune teller says, to discard any faraz or wajib action when one is able, example, salah, zakat, hajj, fasting, qurbani, to do acts of worship for show, to boast of one's piety or ibadah, to be careless with urine drops on one's body or clothes, to miss the Jummah Salah, to miss Salah with Jamaat for males without a valid excuse, and to delay Salah until the time goes out, to kill someone unjustly, to kill one's children, or to abort a child after the soul has been placed in it is also included in killing children, to commit suicide, to cause harm or to disobey one's parents in impermissible actions, to sever family ties for worldly reasons, to commit adultery, fornication, incest or anal sex, to get involved in acts of homosexuality and lesbianism, to have relations with one's wife during her menses, to have no self-honor over one's spouse, to sit in seclusion with ghair mahram women, those with whom the observance of hijab is necessary, And lastly, to appear before one's brother-in-law, sister-in-law, cousins, or any other strangers, etc., without any parda. Inshallah, we will continue tomorrow. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله. Yesterday the 29 juz was recited in the Taraweeh Salam, and the beginning is a very famous surah where تبارك الذي بيده الملك. And yesterday alhamdulillah in the Ta'aleem Mufti Imjaz Adama Barakatuhu elaborated from Fazali Amal the virtues of Suratul Mulk. In the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is known as hiyal mani'atul munjiyatu, that it saves a person from the azab of the qabr. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned one hadith that verily there is a surah in the Quran, the book of Allah, which contains 30 verses. And this surah will intercede on his behalf until he is granted salvation from hell and admitted into Jannah. So here Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned 30 verses. So this is an ishara indication to everyone that a person, inshallah, if he learns one verse every day, so by end of the month, inshallah, he will memorize the entire surah. Allah give us a tawfiq, inshallah. Also, it is mentioned, like it was mentioned yesterday, a person who reads surah to sajda and surah tabarak between maghrib and isha salah, then he will get the thawab as if though he read salah on the night of Laylatul Qadr. So imagine now in the month of Ramadan, we know there are five odd nights, and any of these five nights could be Laylatul Qadr. But yeah, imagine every year, throughout the year, every night, if a person inshallah recites these two surahs, then he'll get the surahs if though he made ibadah on Laylatul Qadr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this verse of the surah, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِي الْمُلْكِ, that بَابَرْكَتْ, that blessed is that being in whose control is the kingdom. And وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and he has power over everything. And الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ, Allah mentions that he has created death and life. So we know that death, first person lives, then he dies. So what is the meaning by saying Allah has created death first, then life? So here also there is indication that, oh insan, you have come into this world, that prepare for your death. Your azan and iqamah is already being given. Every child that is born, the azan is given in the right ear, the iqamah is given in the left ear. Just to tell insan that prepare, that you have come here not to live forever, that prepare for your death. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thereafter mentions that لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, that Allah has created all this so that He can test you who amongst you is best in amal. Yeah, also Allah does not say, oh, He wants quantity, but ahsanu. Allah means He wants quality. So that is why in the dua that we read after for us salam, Allahumma inna ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. That, oh Allah, grant us ability to making a shukr, and also give us a tawfiq of making a zikr, and making ibadat which contains beauty, husn, and this is what we call quality. So also a person should realize that there are two qualities a person should have when it comes to the beauty of ibadat. One is the person should have ikhlas, tashiya niyat, or he should not have any ostentation or showing off. Secondly, it should be according to the sharia. If these two aspects are found, inshallah, that ibadat will be a source of beauty. Allah mentions with regards to the death as well. So yeah, a person should keep death all the time in the back of his mind. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, kafa bil mawti wa izan, that Allah is sufficient for a person as a waz, that death, that becomes a reminder. And he mentioned the hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have left two reminders. One is a silent reminder, one is a loud reminder. The loud and the speaking reminder is the Quran al-Kareem. And the one that is silent, and that is death. It is mentioned of Sikandar Azam, he was a person who had owned the entire world. There were two Muslims, one was Sikandar, and one was Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam. And the other two were Kufar, Namrud and Bukhta Nasr. So nevertheless, when this person now was in the throes of death, he was very, very sick. So he made wasiyat, an ajeeb wasiyat. First wasiyat, he said, when I die, then the doctors, the tabibs, should carry my janaza to the grave. Second wasiyat, he said, when I pass away, then all the valuables, all the jewels, the emeralds, the sapphires, the gold, silver should be strewn on either side towards the qabristan. And third thing is, when you take me into the qabr, then show the people, take my both hands out of the coffin. So people ask, very ajeeb, very strange wasiyat. So what is the hikmat? He said, the first one is, the doctor should carry my janaza, and that they should realize that they are the doctors, they have in their, so to say, in their hands, medication, who can cure people, etc. But I am the king of this, I am the king of the time, I am leaving this entire world, you also have to prepare. That death also will come to you as well. Somebody, when people see all the things that are strewn on either side, people will say, wah wah, look at this person, he is going, and everything he is leaving behind. And thirdly, taking out the hands of the kafan is to show the people that I'm entering into the qabr empty-handed. The only thing will help a person is his iman and amal as-saliha. That is why, alhamdulillah, here in our khankam, that after Tarawih Salah, one of the kitabs is written, Maut Ki Yaad. And that is that we remember death. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أَكْثِرُ ذِكْرَ هَذِي مِنْ لَذَّاتِ, that I remember excessively the terminator of all worldly pleasures. And what that is? That is death. Death will can come any time, it can strike any time, and a person should be ready for it. Continuing the surah, Allah mentions, الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ طِبَاقًا. Allah has created the seven heavens in all stages, in all different layers. مَا تَرَى فِي خَلْكِ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ تَفَاوُتٍ. And O insan, you will not find any inconsistency in this creation of mine in the heavens. فَرْجِئِ الْبَصَرِ. Allah says and tells insan that look, at see, look up and look at the heavens. هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُتُورِ. Do you see any cracks? Do you see any flaws? ثُمَّ ارْجِئِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ. That O insan, go look again, again and again. Turn your gaze towards the heaven and see. And what are this, the heavens? In one eye it is mentioned that without any pillars Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the heavens. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned the distance between each of the seven heavens is a journey of 500 years. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continuing with the eyes of the Quran Kareem, in Suratul Qalam, Allah mentions Noon wal Qalami wa ma yasturun. And Hazrat Dama Barakatu, the Islahi Jalsa that had taken place here in February, in this, Hazrat elaborated on this ayat of the Quran al-Kareem. So yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes says noon. Noon is huruf al-maqata'at. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the meaning of it. And then Allah says, takes the qasam of the pen. Wal-qalami wa ma yasturun. And whatever they write. So yeah, the ulama explained this could refer to three types of pens. One is the pen of taqdeer. The second, the pen of the malaika records. There's the VW Jetta DRX648GP. It is blocking your Toyota Corolla. Please remove your car. The pens, will come, there are three types of pens. One is the pen of taqdeer, the pen of the malaika that record a person's deeds, and the third pen is that what we have normally have, the pens of human beings. So ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the first thing Allah created was a pen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the pen to write, at uktub. So the pen asked, what should I write? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that whatever is going to take place till eternity, the predestination, whatever is going to be predestined till the day of Qiyamah, till eternity, record all those things. So this is a great gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that this pen also of ours, that in the days gone by, they used to use reeds. Today, how much sugar we got pens. And if a person only looks at the pen, how it is manufactured, the ink, everything, the process, everything put together, we just click the pen and we write. But it is a whole process behind this, so a person should ponder over this. And Allah mentions, Allama bil qalam, in Surah Iqra Bismi, Allah taught by means of the pen. And today, the days gone by, people used to record the things that today we are fortunate, we are holding the Quran. Yeah, it is all, in those days it was written with a pen. and kitabs were written with a pen. So much of ni'mat and bounties a person can see with regards to the pen. So many things can be achieved with the pens. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to give da'wah to the kings of the times, and he used to invite them via the pen. Today we use the pen daily, and in the process we do so many things. We record things, accountant use the pen, etc. We sign checks with the pen. Also the ulama explained that even this too, we should respect it, because this is also a sign of knowledge, that we use the pen for many things. I remember when we went to India for Jamaat, so someone was giving us a hidayah talk, and he told us, when you go to the immigration, whether in the airport or by the border, then keep cheap pens. So we asked, what is the reason? He said, when those people in India, when they see you got nice pens, Parker pens, etc., then they will ask you, let me a pen 1 minute, I want to fill up your immigration form. And they'll keep you busy for certain things, tell you, go here, go there. Meantime, you gone, the pen also disappears. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the after continues, مَا أَنْتَ بِنِكْمَةِ رَبِّكَ الْمَجْنُونَ. That O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, through Allah's fazal and through His grace, that you are not insane. Unfortunately, the people, the kuffar, they used to call Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with all his evil names, that he is Majnoon, he is a Shahir, he is a Kahin, he is a soothsayer, and he is involved in Jadu, etc. Here Allah comes to the defense of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not insane. And calling such a person, such a sane person like Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam insane, is insanity. There was a certain person who went from the town, was the governor, and he decided, let me go see what's happening in the asylum, what is happening over there. So he goes, he first, and he sees one ward, there's a person calling all the time, that Shabnam, Shabnam, Shabnam. So the governor asked, what is wrong with this person? He said, this person was in love with Shabnam, but he never got married to her. So he went bonkers, he went off his head. Then he said, no problem. Then he went to the second cell, then he saw the next person, and he's asking the question, but why, all the time. So he said, what happened to this person? He said, this person got married to Shabnam. So both cases, both of them went off their heads. Nevertheless, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the after says, وَإِنَّ لَكَ الْأَجْرُ غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will have great rewards for you, and this rewards will never come to an end. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, your character is a very, very sublime, exalted status. That O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah has given testimony, your character is a very, very high stage. And what revolution that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came about, when in the days of Jahiliyyah, what the people were involved, and to the barakat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything had changed. And we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Badas Khuda Tuhi Buzuruk Kisra Mukhtasar, that after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatest person is Allah, is Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As Aisha radiallahu anha was asked, what was the character of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? As Aisha mentioned, Kana Khuluku wal Quran. He was the embodiment of the Quran Kareem. His character was the embodiment of the Quran Kareem. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned a hadith, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, that have been sent to a perfect noble character. Also, we also should take lesson and inculcate good character in us as well. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أَكْمَلُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِيمَانًا, the person who's got iman, who is perfect, أَحْسَنُ خُلُقًا, whose character is also good and perfect. In Abu Dawud Sharif, a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned, that by virtue of a person having good character, this person, he can reach the status of those who spend the nights in ibadat and the days in fasting. Subhanallah. Just by a person having good character, that a person is all the time in tahajjud, a person is fasting all the time, this person who's got good character will reach such a status. And understand also that the West, they will create this negativity and create doubts in people's minds, na'uzubillah, that Islam spread through the sword. Well, it was not by the sword, it was through the akhlaq of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, akhlaq of the sahaba radiallahu anhum. Mu'ashwar Itali rahmatullahi is written in Ashraful Jawab, so many qissas where people came into the fold of Islam through the akhlaq of the sahaba radiallahu anhum, etc. Carrying on with the surah Al-Kalam, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a qissa where inna balawnahum kama balawna ashab al-jannah, that indeed we have tested you, O the people of Makkah and Mushrikeen, just as we have tested the people of the orchard. And who were these people? Is أَقْسَمُوا لَيَصْرِمُوا النَّامُسُ بِهِنْ. When he took a qasam, that they will go in the morning, and he will pluck their fruit very early in the morning. The background of these verses is that there were three brothers who had a very pious father. This father had this good quality, that whenever the fruits were ready for harvesting, for plucking, and the grain, etc., he was ready. So now the poor, the miskin, and all those destitute used to come and wait at the entrance or at the farm. And this person was a very kind person, very generous person. And from there, Allah could, whatever was plucked, whatever was harvested, whether the fruit or the grain, he used to set a lot, some share for these people. So it so happened that this person passed away. And the three sons now inherited all this. But when their family grew even bigger, now became extended families as well. So they decided that our father was very good, he did all these things, but we think we should put a stop to this. So all of them decided, from now on, what we will do is, we'll go early in the morning, before the poor people can go over there, then we will pluck the fruit, etc. So nothing will be left for the poor people. And we will also take the grain away, so these poor people do not benefit at all. So the whole kissa is mentioned that they go, they wake up very in the morning, they wake each other up, and now they're telling each other that we will go to our farm and we will not find any of the miskin. Allah yadkhulannaha alaykum al-yawma alaykum miskin, that today we will not find any people there, no beggars over there. And in this way they rushed out in the early part of the morning. But when they came over there, they were lost. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a punishment, a huge fire which destroyed all the crops. So they thought to themselves, we have lost our way. But after eventually, when they started looking and seeing where they lost the way, etc., only did they realize that it was their farm that was destroyed. And then after they said, "Bal nahnu mahrumun," that we are deprived. We wanted to deprive this poor people of the fruit and the grains, etc., but we ourselves are deprived. So the person, the awsatuhum, the middle brother, he was a very pious person, and he told him, "Alam aqul lakum la tusabbihun?" Didn't I tell you to glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Didn't I tell you to praise and pronounce Allah ta'ala's purity? So فَأَقْبَلَ بَعْضَ لَا بَعْضِ يَتَلَاوَمُونَ. He started turning onto one another and blaming one another. So the other ulama explained, this person was a very pious person, but he gave them good advice. But unfortunately, he also followed in their wrong decision, that also to deprive them. But after that, it is mentioned, "Asa Rabbuna yubadilana khayran minha inna ila Rabbina raghibun." They were very, they regretted over the actions, etc. And then they made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can substitute them, whatever has happened in the destroyed crops, and the fruits, and the farms, and the orchards, was something very good. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted the dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced them with a better garden. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nuh, Allah mentions, وَإِسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا وَيُمْدِدُكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. That Nabi is mentioned that make istighfar to your Rabb Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you so many benefits. Like one person came to Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi, and he complained that, "Hazrat, make dua, we got no rain." So he said, "Make istighfar." Another person came and he said that, I'm experiencing shortage in sustenance. There is no barakat in my rozi. Yeah, again he said, "Read istighfar." Another person said that, "I'm married, I got no children." He said, "Read istighfar." Another person said, "We got orchards, but they are not producing." Again he said, "Read istighfar." So someone asked him, "That, oh Hassan Basri, everything is istighfar, what is this?" He said, "I'm not saying it, Allah is saying it. That yursil is-sama alaykum midrara. Make istighfar, Allah will grant you rain from the heavens. Allah will wa'imdidkum yamwal, Allah will grant you children. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase your wealth, wa baneen, and your children. Wa yaj'al lakum jannat, Allah will grant you orchards. Wa yaj'al lakum anhara, and make your rivers flow." So this is the barakat of istighfar. That is why in the month of Ramadan, we need to increase our istighfar as well. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was ma'asum. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is also a lesson. After every salah, Farah salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make istighfar three times. After Hajj, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make istighfar. Now it is inconceivable that leave alone a guna, no mistakes were committed from the side of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in a hadith, I make istighfar more than 70 times daily. So this is a lesson for me and you, that on every occasion, every ibadat, that now we are coming to the month of Ramadan, now make abundance of istighfar for all our shortcomings. And he mentioned one dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma ja'alna min alladhina iza ahsanu istabsharu. That oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us among those people that when we do good, we become happy. Wa iza asa'u istaghfaru. But when we commit gunas, when we do evil actions, then oh Allah, give us a tawfiq of making istighfar. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same surah An-Nuh, Allah mentions the kisah of Nuh alayhi salam, when Nuh alayhi salam asked, oh Allah, la tadhar al-ard min al-kafirin dayyara. Oh Allah, leave not on the earth even one of the disbelievers. That oh, he asked, oh Allah, destroy all of them. So it is mentioned that on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told as Nuh alayhi salam to make earthen jars or clay pots. And after they were made, a lot of effort was put into it. All his earthenware pots, the jars, etc. were made. And now he's smiling, he's happy, I accomplished something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nuh alayhi salam, now break it. So he said, oh Allah, so much of effort I put, and now you want me to break it. So now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Nuh alayhi salam, that all these people are my insan, I have created, and you're asking me to destroy them. This earthen jars that you made with your own hands, but everyone I have created before you, and you are asking me to destroy him. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions a very important lesson in Surah Yayul Muzammil. And these are great lessons for the Isalik, the person who is treading the path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in Sharia and Tariqat and Tasawwuf, these are great things, a person, the lessons to be learned from this. The first command Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya ayyuhal muzammil, O the one who is covered in the cloth, or the one who is enveloped in mantle. So here the ulama explained certain scenarios. One was after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam received wahi in Hira. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very cold. First time he witnessed an angel. First time wahi came to him. And he started shivering. And he went to Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha. And he told, oh Khadija, zammiluni, zammiluni. Cover me, cover me. So that because first time I have experienced this. The other reason why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is called and is given this title, that like when a person is being humiliated and the Quraysh got together and they said, let's call Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a certain name, derogative names, a magician, a madman, a soothsayer, fortune teller, all these things. So naturally Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was, after all, he was a human being. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was affected. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to console him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells him that, ya ayyul muzammil, don't worry, that you are the one who are enveloped in the mantle of goodness. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the command, قُمِ اللَّيْلَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stand up and read salah during the night. And illa qalila, except a certain portion of the night. Here the ulama explained, in other words, perform most of the night in ibadat. And little while, take a little while for rest. That is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perform so much of tahajjud salam that his feet mubarak used to become swollen. Thereafter the explanation is given, how much should you stand? Nisfahu. That stand half the night. If that too is not possible, then awinkus, we'll make it less. Here the ulama explained, less than half will be one third. Or auzid alayhi. Or increase in more than that. That is two thirds. So either half, one third, or two thirds, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is given the option over here. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَرَتِّلِ الْقُرْآنَ تَرْتِيلًا. That read the Quran in a very distinctive and a very clear manner. That read the Quran in such a way that you do not haste in reciting the Quran. Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu commentating on this verse, and what does he say? What is tartil? That tajweedul huruf wa ma'rifatul hukuf. That to pronounce the letters correctly with all these makharij, the sifat, etc. And to stop at the proper places. This is what we call a tartil. Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that inna sanuqi alayka qawlan thaqila. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, indeed, we are going to send down upon you a very weighty discourse. You know why? Because the effort you are going to do during the day is not a very easy effort of propagating the message of the Quran to the mushrikeen. They are going to oppose you, but carry on.
And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is shown an easy way that how to make it easy for you during the day, that read tahajjud as-salah, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, recite the Quran al-Kareem. And ya also sanulqi alayka qawlan thaqila could be also means that effects of wahi. We know that in a cold winter's day or night, people were feeling cold, but yet the effects of wahi was such that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to perspire. Sometimes Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seated on an animal when wahi used to come down, and this used to force the animal to kneel down. Hazrat Uraid bin Sabit radiallahu anhu mentioned on one occasion Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had his head Mubarak on my thigh, and then wahi started coming, and as if though I thought my thigh is going to break, so heavy it became. So yeah, Allah tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam after that inna nashiyat al-layli ya ashaddu wat'an wa aqwa muqila. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the tarjumah that I'm going to tell you is of where Ma'ashabaritani has adopted, that rise up at night, because this is the most effective way to subdue oneself and to make speech more upright. In other words, this part of the night helps one to suppress desires and keep them under control. So this part of the night, when it is complete silence and is only between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that time of the night a person can control his desires, and this helps a person to keep it under control. And then after another qirat, it is mentioned wat'aw. So another qirat is wit'aw. Yeah, what it means, it corresponds and conforms. That means that part of the night is most effective way to make the tongue, the heart, the eye and the ear to mutually conform to each other. Why? When a person recites Quran and everyone is sleeping, when it is still and it's only between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at that time you recite the Quran al-Kareem, now it affects the heart, it affects the ears, etc. So yeah, there is a great connection between all these realms and helps also in concentration. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّحَارِ سَبْحًا تَوِيلًا. That indeed, during the day, you have a very long and lengthy work. In other words, during the day, you have many tasks and engagements of educating, reforming the masses, and discharging the social responsibilities. So yeah, the ulama explained, there are two efforts. One is during the night, turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reading Quran, making dua, and that will help you during the effort of the day. But don't forget the another effort of the day as well. In the night we read as-salam and we read as-Quran, we make dua. But during the day, وَذْكُرِ اسْمَ رَبِّكَ وَتَبَتَّلِ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا. That mention the name of your Rabb, and وَتَبَتَّلِ إِلَيْهِ تَبْتِيلًا, and cut yourself off from everything to focus your attention solely on Him, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like it was mentioned yesterday in a kitab reading of Zikr, that yeah, the word Isma Rabbika is mentioned. That mentioned the name of your Rabb. Allah did not say waskur Rabbaka. That mentioned your Rabb. Yeah, the word name of Allah. And we know the name of Allah is Allah, Allah. I was once in the haram, I was making Zikr very slightly, and I was saying Allah, Allah. So one brother, Arab brother, is telling me bid'at, haram, and this and that. So I told him that make shukar at least, oh Allah, give me the tawfiq to say Allah, Allah. Why? Because it mentions the hadith, la taqumu sa'atu ala ahadin yaqulu Allah, Allah. The qiyamah will not come when at least one person is saying Allah, Allah. Then I asked him, ma ismu rabbik? That what is the name of your Rabb? So he said, Allah. So I told him, waskur ismu rabbik? So Allah is telling me, mention the name of your Rabb. That is Allah, Allah. So yeah, then he kept quiet. So nevertheless, this mentioning of Isma Rabbika, that all the time mention the name of Allah, Allah. وَتَبَتَّلِهِ تَبْتِيلًا. What does it mean? That your heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That one's relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overpowers other relationships, other people. So yeah, what does it mean also? That a person, he may be engaged with other people, buying or selling, looking after the family affairs, the business affairs, etc. But his heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dunya ke mashgalon mein bhi ye ba khuda raha. That even though he's involved in his dunya, but his heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ye sab ke saath rehke bhi sabse juda raha. That he's living with all the people, but he's remaining aloof from them. Why? His heart is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So yeah, there are great things that we learn from this in the suluk. That first and foremost, a person should read tahajjud salam, read Quran at night, and also during the day, make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is wusul ila Allah, make the zikr of Allah, Allah, and cut yourself off from everything. And the next verse Allah says, yes, you have things to do. So don't be frightened. Rabbul Mashriq wal Maghribi. Though you are worried about your milk and your bread, Allah is the Rabb of the entire East and the West. La ilaha illa huwa fattakhizhu wakila. And take Allah, that there is no deity besides Allah. Take Him as your as a guardian. That this is also a nafi and isbat, that we negate everything and only put Allah in our hearts. And then people will tell you, certain people will tell you, what is wrong with you? You're only shaking your head from this side to that side. You're only making Allah, Allah. Then wasbir ala ma yaqul. Then make sabr, whatever people will tell you. Wahjurum hajran jameela. And if need be, then separate from them in a very beautiful manner. Let them say what they want, but you carry on with your ibadat. You carry on with your zikr. And let your heart be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are great lessons to be learned from this surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make a usul ila Allah possible and make it ta'am and am, inshaAllah. Subhanallah.